There are many, many important questions that we have to face in life. And many of them, you know, were asked even in Bible days, questions that we ask each other constantly. They were posed in Bible days. For example, a man called Elijah and his servant met up with a lady one day, and they asked the question, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" In other words, they were inquiring after the health of this woman. And you know, daily we say to people, "How are you doing? Are you keeping well?" And these questions are very important. It is important for people to have a good, healthy lifestyle. It is good for them to be in health. And then there are questions about our job. And again, this question was posed in Bible times. Jonah was asked the question, "What is your occupation?" Joseph's brothers were asked the same question, "What's your occupation?" They had been shepherds since they were boys. And so people ask you, "What's your job? What do you work at? Are you a blue-collar worker? Are you a white-collar worker? Are you a graduate?" And there are these questions that affect our work and our occupation and our employment. And these are important questions as well. Everybody needs a good job. And then there are questions, too, about where we live. And the Lord Jesus himself was asked this question one time, "Where do you dwell? Where do you live?" And people ask you, "Where do you come from? Where do you live?" And it's nice to live in a fine environment and to have comfortable surroundings. All of these things are big issues in life, health and occupation and housing. And then another question that sometimes is asked, although we are told we should never ask a woman her age, but sometimes we ask about the age of people. Jacob in the Bible was asked by this, by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, "How old are you?" And you know, sometimes our age determines just the benefits that we get, or the privileges that we enjoy. How old are you? So these are big questions that we face every day in life. But there are questions relating to the spiritual dimension of life that must be faced. And it seems to me that life's most important question was posed by a man called Pontius Pilate. This is what he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" Every one of us have got to face that question. The dilemma that faces every human life is this: what shall I do with Jesus? Now allow me to sketch in the background to the asking of that question. The Lord Jesus Christ had been arrested the previous evening. He'd been overnight in a cell, he'd experienced interrogation, he'd experienced torture, and then early in the morning the Jewish leaders hurried him to Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor. They came with demands for his crucifixion. Now Pontius Pilate knew in his heart that Jesus of Nazareth was no criminal. He knew that he didn't deserve to be crucified. He didn't deserve to die. And Pilate used various ploys to avoid sending the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. He tried argument, first of all. He declared Christ's innocence. "I find no fault in this man," he said again and again, but that didn't silence the crowd. And then he said, "I'll chastise him and let him go." In other words, what Pontius Pilate was saying was this: I'll torture him, I'll make such an example of him that they will cease their demands for his execution. And so he was handed over to the soldiers and they mocked him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head and then brutally struck him on the head with a reed. They spat on him in the face. And I tell you, it's a disgusting thing to be spat upon. And the Lord Jesus Christ willingly endured the spitting. And then they bowed the knee before him in mock homage, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they tied him to a whipping post. And time after time, a lead-tipped scourge was brought down viciously on his back, so that his back resembled a ploughed field because of the massive lacerations. He said prophetically, "The ploughers ploughed upon me, they made long their furrows." And then Pilate brought the Lord Jesus out. The Bible puts it this way: then came Jesus forth, wearing the purple robe and the crown of thorns. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man. Would the crowd pity him? He was such a spectacle. He'd been viciously, brutally treated. Would their hearts be melted?" To the disappointment of Pontius Pilate A crescendo of noise arose again. Away with him. Crucify him. And then Pilate tried another ploy. He resorted to a traditional prisoner release policy. At that time of the year, a prisoner had to be released. There was an agreement about that. But, you know, they said, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas, who was a rebel. Barabbas, who was a robber. Barabbas, who was a murderer. They wanted Barabbas instead of Christ. So when all failed, Pontius Pilate then put his question, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Now we must apply that question to our own lives, for every one of us must have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that this is a question about a person. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Now the name Jesus reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ was a saviour. That name is linked with his saviourhood. Before his birth it was said, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He was always the Son of God. He was eternally the Son of God, the great creator. But when he came into the world, he was given the name of Jesus, meaning a saviour. He would save people from their sins. Now we have all got them. Sins. The Bible speaks constantly about our sins. Every one of us have violated God's laws. We've rebelled against him. We've fallen short of his perfect standard. We all have sins. And so regularly the Bible uses these two words, our sins. The good news is that Christ died for our sins. That's what Paul said. Peter put it this way, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. John says, he is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So Paul and Peter and John all speak about our sins and tell us that the Lord Jesus died for our sins. His life was given so that our sins could be forgiven, so that our guilt could be cancelled, so that we could have a right relationship with God and be in his presence for the long eternity. The Lord Jesus, in giving what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, in Luke's account of it, he says this, forgive us our sins. So I learn that it's possible for our sins to be forgiven. The book of Hebrews in the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus having purged our sins. So I learn from that it's possible for our sins to be cleansed. And then John in the Bible said that the Lord Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. So I learned from that it's possible for our sins to be taken away. So that should be good news. Although these two words, our sins, appear so frequently in the Holy Bible, we learn from Scripture that the Lord Jesus died to deal with our sins, and that our sins can be forgiven, our sins can be purged, our sins can be taken away, because Christ is Jesus the Saviour. But the question is, what shall I do then with Jesus? You need the Saviour. You must be willing to receive him as your Lord and Saviour. And then the question says, what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And the phrase, the name, the title Christ, reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is now alive from the dead. God has made him both Lord and Christ, said Peter in his preaching in the Acts of the Apostles. So he's a risen, glorified man. And because he's alive as God's Christ, he is able to save, the Bible says. He's a powerful saviour because he's alive. Now you need this saviour. But the question is, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Christ? So it's a question about a person. But then it's a personal question. Notice Pilate's language. What shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? It was something that he had to attend to. It was a question that he had to face. Now when it comes to the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of our souls, it is a personal matter. On one occasion, Peter was in conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Saviour was telling him what he would have to do, and Peter looked over his shoulder and saw John following, and he asked, what shall this man do? And very often we're like Peter. We're more concerned with the other man and what he's got to do. But it's important for us to understand that as far as the salvation of our soul is concerned, this is something intensely personal. Paul and Silas Christian missionaries were put into a jail in Philippi in northern Greece on one occasion, and there came a point in the story when the jailer said to them, "What must I do to be saved?" It was a personal question. It was something he had to attend to personally. He had to be saved. Now, I've no doubt there were a lot of wrecks and wretches in his prison, but he didn't look round and say, "What have they got to do in order to be saved?" No, his question was, "What must I do to be saved?" Have you ever asked that question? You do need to be saved. There was a man in the Bible who simply said this to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He realized it was personal. A thief who died by the side of the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." It was something personal. When Peter was walking in the water toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and then as he began to sink, he called out, "Lord, save me." It was something personal. So this is something that you personally have to face up to. Please don't be thinking about men and women on the other side of the world when it comes to this matter of the soul's salvation. Don't be thinking about your neighbours, your colleagues. Realise that the spotlight falls on you. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? It's a question that you have to face up to personally. It's a question that demands an answer. What shall I do with Jesus, said Pilate? You've got to do something with him. Oh, there was a point in the story where Pilate tried to wash his hands of the whole situation. He did it literally, but figuratively he was saying, "I'm washing my hands of this situation. I don't want anything to do with Christ." In fact, the advice that his wife gave him was this, "Have nothing to do with him." But frankly, that is impossible. We cannot ignore Jesus Christ. Every one of us have to face up to it. What shall I do with Jesus? Now, you have two options. You can either receive him or reject him. Pilate had two options. He could either release him or send him to the cross. Sadly, the balance is tipped the wrong way. Sadly for Pilate, that is. And he sent the Lord Jesus to the cross. He rejected him. You could be different. The Bible speaks of those who receive Christ. It says, "As many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God." To receive him means to believe on his name, that context of Scripture explains. It means to turn from our sins in repentance and to realise that Christ's death on the cross and his glorious resurrection has made it possible for us to be right with God, and we respond to him and we call on him to save us, and thus we receive him. Have you ever received him? Not everyone does. People sometimes reject him. And the Lord Jesus did say in his teaching, if we reject him, if we don't receive his words, we'll have one who judges us. In other words, if we reject Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, we'll have to meet him as a judge. Now that is very, very sobering. As things stand at the moment, it is open to you to receive him. But if you reject him, at the judgment day, you'll stand before him and you'll hear his awful pronouncement, "Depart from me, I never knew you." It is crucial for you to receive Christ. So face up to this most important question, the greatest question that you could face in your life, life's most important question. Oh, there are these questions about work and employment and health and so on. But this is life's most important question. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ? I urge you, I beg of you, be willing to receive him. He'll forgive your sins. He'll set you on the road that leads to heaven, and all will be well for eternity if you arrive at the right decision about the Lord Jesus Christ.